B-Pod Studios.
Hey, that was quite a rant there.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Listen to replays of our shows.
Well, what was that?
And original podcasts.
Yeah, there we go.
Click on podcasts on our site at 985thesportshub.com.
Games are only half of it.
Massive loser.
Toucher and Rich.
When you're that short, it's more than okay to be a dick.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak's the worst.
Wow. Steal. Smart knocks it away from Bayless. Ogilvy lobs it up for Marcus Smart, whose alley-oop game is strong, and he finishes with a two-hand slam.
They wanted to call a timeout then. That's what they were doing, running to the corner to call a timeout when that ball was stolen.
Tom Thibodeau's mood is generally not good on a regular day. Now he has gone ultra-cranky as he calls his latest timeout as the Celtics have their largest lead. Seven straight, up by 11.
'98.5 Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Danny Ainge is the president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Danny Ainge, hello.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas with your family. You had told us that you were that's how you were spending it the last time we talked, and I hope that all went very well. And there was no bickering. Hey,
no, it was awesome. It was great seeing all the grandkids. And how about you? Good Christmas?
It was. I was at my parents' house, and, a lot of sitting, as I'll say that is. There was not a ton of activity, but it was nice.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, so I hate to start things this way, but let's just go down the roster of people who are hurt or injured and just find out an update on each one of them. Let's start with Kyrie Irving. What are you hearing about when he'll be able to return?
He's day-to-day. I'm not sure if he'll play Friday or not. I'd be surprised if it went past that, but, I'm not the doctor, so it's just a guess. But he may or may not play. We'll just have to wait till Friday to know.
Have you ever had your eye scratched before in a game?
I have, yeah, a few times.
What is he going through right now? Is it like a sensitivity to light, or what is it? Just is it your eye is constantly watering?
Yeah, I mean, I think just visually, he's got some swelling, and he's wearing sunglasses, so I don't know. It's just an issue where you just don't want it to happen again.
Did you know guys back in the day who would do that on purpose?
Do what?
Would try to get in your eye, would try to poke your eye.
No, there was a lot of dirty tricks played, but I don't remember that one.
Not Lambeer even?
Oh, come on.
Well, I mean, maybe if he found a way to do it, but I'm not sure he figured that one out.
He didn't figure the eyes. What was the dirtiest thing that Lambeer used to do? Like, it was just widely known across the league. Watch out for this with Lambeer.
You know, I think that he just threw guys down, used his body. He was a big, strong, rough guy. I mean, I don't think he had any certain tricks. He was just a very physical player.
All right, speaking
and
of
big and strong.
Yeah, if you got to go up against Mahorn and Lambeer, yeah, that's a lot of weight being pushed around.
Late 80s were a problem, yes.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't seem overly pleasant, play in those conditions.
Well, another big gentleman, Aaron Baines. How is he doing?
So Aaron is, I'm not sure a timetable on him. It was 4 weeks from the surgery, just making sure the bone is healing. But he's out on the court doing some light running and working out. And he was shooting in the gym yesterday. So I'm not sure what the timetable is, but I'm guessing it's another couple weeks.
They really seem to miss him, don't they? I mean, it's almost noticeable what's been happening defensively since Aaron Baines has been gone, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Aaron was like one of the top defenders in the league last year statistically. And, he's just a tough guy. He's a guy that brings it every night defensively. He brings it to practice, energy. He's like the youngest kid on the team. If you just watched him, he just bounce around and giggle and have fun. And he brings a great energy to our team.
All right. And then there's Marcus Morris. So last night we didn't really hear much about what ended up happening after he was scrambling for a ball. He left the game. What are you hearing about Marcus Morris?
Yeah, Marcus just has a sore neck. You know, has a hard time turning his head left and right. It's, you know, this looks like an injury that won't last too long. But again, you got to usually wait for the next day before you get a good feel of how some of those things are. But he was definitely sore, hit his shoulder and felt a twinge, you know, in his neck. And I don't know. I mean, it's just like a stinger or something like that. But I think he'll be okay. Again, I think he's not certain for Friday, but possible.
All right. Did you think it would take this long to – and do you think we'd be in January and still not know exactly who this Celtics team is? It's very strange. I mean, they're very Jekyll and Hyde. You know, there's some games where they come out and they're absolutely on fire. They're beating really good teams. Yet against bad teams, it seems like they're struggling. Did you think it would take this long for us to finally try to start figuring out who these guys are?
Well, I mean, you hope not. You hope coming into the training camp, you can figure it out fast. But, you know, all year long, we went through a stretch where we struggled in our first quarters and then played well the rest of the game, but we changed the starting lineup, and then we had really good first quarters, and then we struggled in the second quarter. And, you know, like right now we're going through a phase where we're struggling in the third quarter. So I think that, you know, just consistency is what we're fighting for. I mean, you can see a lot of great signs, but you know, we also go through offensive droughts and defensive droughts, and we can't get stopped. So, you know, I think that we're just trying to find – we went, you know, in our 8-game winning streak, although it was against not the best competition in the NBA, it felt like, you know, we had 6 or 7 guys playing well every night. And other than that, we really haven't had that consistently where we have, you know, 6 out of 8 or 7 out of 8 guys having really good nights.
Danny, because of the inconsistency of your team, coupled with the expectations I'm sure you had entering the season, have you entertained the thought of making a deal to either upgrade your team or to get their attention or whatever motivation you want to put behind it?
Well, we're always looking to upgrade our team. I mean, if those opportunities present themselves, I think that's going to be tough. I feel like, upgrading the talent on our team is – you know, we're trying to figure out ways to upgrade our team by different rotations and different guys playing together and who can maximize who and things like that. And that's been the experiment through the first half of the year. And we also have had a lot of injuries. We haven't really had the whole team together. So we've been up and down. But I will say that, just as far as trading players, I don't really see much out there. That we have a lot of good ones. And it's hard to get better players than we have.
All right, Danny, there has been a couple player-only meetings, and, the circumstances around them are obvious. But when you were playing, and just from your knowledge of how things are done now, what goes on, and is it just an example of this team because Kyrie Irving's the leader, that he kind of takes the floor? What happens in those?
You know, so every team has these, usually multiple times during the course of the season. The season is so long. And every team is unique. Every team's dynamic is different. But most of the time in those, I would say that, you know, many players share their voice or their opinion, and I think they're typically very healthy. Not always, but sometimes they're very healthy.
Now, when you guys held team meetings, who called them?
It could be anybody. Could have been Dennis Johnson. It could have been me. It could have been Larry. It could have been Kevin. It could like anybody.
Walton never called a meeting, did he?
Bill did. I don't recall Bill calling a meeting. But
what would that
have
been like?
I'm not sure I recall Bill attending a meeting.
Bill would just be like, let's take some DMT and see what happens. Everyone visualize your best self.
Let's just put on some Grateful Dead. We'll be all right.
Right, and then everyone immediately leaves the room. So if you can play someone with some actual musical acumen, maybe we'll do this.
And you've never never wanted to play harder just to get your aggression out from how angry the music made you. All right, so this is an interesting quote was flown out into the universe last week where LeBron James has this TV show, which is apparently called the Look at How Great I Am show. I don't even know where you see it. I think it's online at ESPN. You got to pay for it. But he came out and said that when he won the ring against Golden State, and it was where, you know, when Draymond Green was suspended for the two games during the finals, he said it was after that win that he felt that he had become the greatest player of all time. Now, your teammate Kevin McHale has spoken out and said that he found that insulting to players like Bill Russell, Kareem, Michael Jordan, even Larry Bird, to name a few. What do you think of that comment of LeBron naming himself the greatest of all time?
Well, you know, listen, I think obviously LeBron is in every conversation with who is the greatest player of all time. And there's, you know, a handful of guys that are in those conversations that are considered to be the greatest, like those ones that Kevin just mentioned. And, you know, like his career's not over. I'd just like to, you know, why he's saying that, I don't know. You know, maybe he thinks that sells. Maybe he's taking the Donald Trump approach and trying to sell himself. I don't know. But, you know, time will tell. I think history, I don't even know if anybody knows who the greatest of all time is because the years are so different.
Okay, if LeBron stopped playing today, is he a better player than Larry Bird was?
I mean, I think that's a good debate. I honestly don't know. They're just so different in the game. But, I mean, LeBron went to the finals. I would have to say yes, just because of, you know, he was able to have more durability and do better thing, play at his top level of his game for longer.
Okay, all right, but you would still put him below Bill Russell, correct?
I don't know. I mean, I think LeBron is a fantastic player, and you're comparing a center and a small forward that plays point guard and handles the ball all the time. I mean, that's just a tough comparison in two completely different types of games.
Okay, let's go,
John.
Let's
what
go.
Do you think? You were a young man when Bill Russell was at his team. Russell was way better.
Russell changed the way the game was played.
You were in that smoky garden.
Eight straight titles.
How about this? Would Larry Bird ever come?
Russell was unbelievable. I mean, Bill Russell defensively, he just changed everything about the game. He was an unbelievable player. And, you know, he had great teammates, and it was in the 8-team league. I mean, it's just, when it started, it's just hard to make those comparisons. The game is different, and the world is different now. But Russell was unbelievable, and certainly could be made an argument for being the best player of all time.
And I think Larry would have been better.
Would Larry Bird ever have called himself the greatest player of all time?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, and I think saying that takes it away, like knocks you down a little bit in the argument. Doesn't that show a little bit of insecurity?
Well, Danny's right. He's doing it to build a brand, and he's doing it to get attention, and he's looking outside the world of basketball right now, and, you know, this is the way things are now. And I think that the Trump analogy is not out of bounds. I mean, this is the way people sell themselves now, is braggadocio and things of that nature. So I get where you're coming from, Danny.
I mean, and it's a legit art. He has a legit case.
Sure.
No, there's no question about it. Like, everybody in the world is asking me all the time where I go, who's a better player, Michael Jordan or LeBron James? So it's something that everybody wants to know. Everybody wants to – there has to be some answer. I'm not sure I have an answer. I've talked about it with my players. I had a 30-minute discussion with Jason Tatum one day about who was the greatest player of all time, and you know, he had, like, it was amazing how much he knew, how much history he knew and statistics he knew. And it was, so it's something that everyone's talking about.
Who does Jason Tatum think is the best player of all time?
I'll let Jason Tatum tell you that one.
Kobe, it's Kobe, isn't it? It's Kobe.
No, not Kobe. No.
It can't be LeBron because he's playing against LeBron, and that would just be, you can't tell your boss that.
That's yeah, it would, it's between LeBron and Kobe. I mean, LeBron and Michael.
Yes. Then it's Michael.
You can't tell your boss that someone who's currently playing is the best of all time.
Yeah.
Because then you can go, Danny, what do you want from me? I was playing against the best of all time. All right, Danny Ainge, we appreciate having on, and we hope for more games like the one last night as we go through the week, and we look forward to talking to you again.
All right, guys. Happy New Year.
All right, you too.
Happy New Year to you. All right, there you go, so, Danny Ainge.
So there you go, Danny Ainge saying that Larry Bird is not any good and that LeBron James is much better than him.
Right, that's exactly what he said.
That was his quote, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, we're all under the impression that Larry Bird is better than LeBron James. Right? John's raising his eyebrows.
No, I when I think of Larry, I think of what could have been. His body gave out on him after 88. The last 3 years, he was playing at half speed. I would have liked to have seen what he could do if he remained healthy.
Just athleticism alone. I mean, can you imagine Larry Bird having to check LeBron James?
Yeah. No, I can't see that.
Yeah, there's so much trickery that could go on.
Larry Bird would disintegrate.
Shirt grabbing and shorts grabbing.
Like, Bird would literally disintegrate into the sky.
Yeah.
Just like, it would go right through him like he was a ghost.
Now, Larry Bird could shoot over him.
Yes.
I think that, but defensively, that would be a bit of a. And Larry Bird was a good defensive player, but that would be. I mean, not terrible.
Larry and LeBron, I believe, are the same height.
Yeah. That's fine.
I'm not saying Larry's better than LeBron. I'm not.
That he could guard LeBron James?
No, I'm not saying that either. What I'm saying is I would have liked to have seen how Larry would have been looked at. This is independent of the LeBron thought. I would like to see how Larry would have been looked at if he didn't play the last 3 years with a back that was about to give out on him. That's all.
You know who the best team player on the Dream Team was during the Olympics?
Leighton, Christian Leighton.
Yes. Yeah,
he got in a lot.
Leighton.
They just put Leighton on and they go, here, you sit there.
Yeah.
It's Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley had the best Olympics out of all of them.
Okay.
6'4", Charles Barkley. 6'4", power forward.
Mm-hmm.
Not easy to do.
Nope.
Underrated as a player. It's funny when Tatum finishes and his career regresses yearly like it's been doing right now.
Oh, jeez, Fred. Listen, he is
I was wondering when you were going to circle around to that.
He is not where we thought he was going to be this time this year. Yeah.
And then Jonathan Isaac, it just takes off into the air.
I have to check Isaac's stats.
Please do. This doesn't have to happen on the air, but you can please tell me.
Okay, no problem.
All right, so we'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich. Podcast. The latest sports news. And for Toucher and Rich. Toucher and Rich. Download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Did he go through with the MRI tonight?
He did not. On Friday, he did not. But again, when I talked to you guys on Friday, I was not aware of that. I woke up Sunday morning, got a call from his agent, Drew Rosenhaus. Drew expressed that he was feeling better and that he would potentially be able to participate. I outlined to Drew that decisions weren't made like that, but I would be interested in visiting with him in person at the stadium prior to the game. When he woke up on Sunday and felt better and Drew reached out and expressed that, I expressed to Drew that playing was not on the table because we had to draw a line in the dirt in terms of getting our group ready to play and make the last minute preparations and so forth. So it was about his health or lack of information relative to his health in terms of determining his availability. That's why he was listed on the injury report. That's why he was listed on the injury report in the manner in which he was listed.
.985 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. That's Mike Tomlin on the Antonio Brown situation. I've long defended Mike Tomlin, but he's made some decisions during games that have been bad. I mean, he goes for it on fourth down, fake punts on fourth down in situations where they're in bad field position. A lot of stuff that he's done during games seems bad. He seems to have finally now. But the one thing about the Steelers is that Antonio Brown, everyone's spoken out against him on that team that's spoken. Like, it's not like what Antonio Brown did was popular. Only James Harrison, who's one of the strangest human beings on the planet, and can't get over the fact that when he was 40, the Steelers got rid of him, which is absolutely crazy to me, that James Harrison holds such a grudge. Well, you came to New England and you didn't do anything.
Well, I mean, you speak about James Harrison. He was the one who was with Antonio Brown during that Mike Tomlin press conference. And then James Harrison puts up on his Instagram a video of him and Antonio Brown sitting there talking while Tomlin is live in the background on their television. And
yo, so I'm sitting here with my boy. I'm about to go ahead. I'm going to get the exclusive. Y'all stay tuned. We listening to what we listening to right now.
Stay tuned. We about to do this big interview.
We going to drop the exclusive. I got it first.
Yeah, which you didn't do. There was no interview after that.
It sounds like there's a big TV career in front of James Harrison.
James Harrison creeps me out, man. Well,
of course he creeps you out because he's a creepy person. He's a weirdo. And the idea that he was... And then what does Antonio Brown want? Like, they've paid you. Roethlisberger looks for you during games.
A trade.
To do what? And who's going to trade? I mean, you hear things that it's going to be hard to trade him because of his salary, and then you hear that it's a remote possibility, but it could happen that he get traded. Where the hell does he want to get traded to?
You are not going to find a coach that gives you more leeway than Mike Tomlin does. Almost been a criticism of him, is that he's too much of a player's coach.
He's too much of a player's coach. But beyond that, like, where is he going to go? Where does he want to play?
49ers, because he followed him on Instagram. Yeah.
So he goes to the 49ers and has Jimmy Garoppolo throwing to him, who we don't know anything about, and so good. He can like that. And that's great for a young quarterback to have Antonio Brown, who demands the ball and throws hissy fits on the field.
Well, frankly, there's no one else to throw the ball to, Garoppolo. So.
Yeah, good. But if I'm a young quarterback learning how to read defenses and I'm learning how to check down on routes, and I got this guy who's screaming and yelling and going to the sidelines and then half-assing it. He does that in games. You've watched Steeler games. The announcers always go, Antonio Brown's only been targeted 3 times in the first half. We wonder what his attitude's going to be like when he comes back. Where do you want to go? What's such a great situation? San Francisco is such a great situation. What the hell are you talking about? What do you know about San Francisco?
And you know what? As much as Mike Tomlin, I rip on the guy, and I think that it's completely his fault that he's lost control, because it's not just Antonio Brown. Ben Roethlisberger's been a dick this season. I mean, there's been these little snide comments, and Bert said it the other day, and I never really even thought about this, but man, Ben Roethlisberger will tell you absolutely everything he's been playing through, just so you know just what an Iron Man that guy is out there. And also, he called out Antonio Brown several times this season.
Good.
In the press. Yeah.
But he obviously felt that it needed to happen.
Well, I mean, maybe he's right. But on top of that, Tomlin, the one thing he did.
Rodgers has called out that team on several occasions.
I don't think he's individually called out players like that.
I don't know.
I don't think he's used to look into it. With Antonio Brown, it seems to be a little more than usual.
But it sounds like he needed it.
Well, Roethlisberger also blamed everything on what happened with Le'Veon Bell this year. He said that it was all of it was the press asking about Le'Veon Bell that kind of put things on the wrong track.
I'm not defending the guy, but I kind of am. I would be pissed if I was the quarterback of the Steelers and they couldn't get together to get Le'Veon Bell to play that season.
Well, but the one thing Tomlin did right was when you didn't have Antonio Brown showing up for that walkthrough and the practice on Friday, and he had his agent call him after for several days they had been texting him saying, where the hell are you? We're looking for you. And he didn't get back to him. And it was his agent who called. I got to give Tom a little bit of respect for saying, nope, you're not playing. Even with the playoffs on the line, I thought that was pretty ballsy.
I think that he's jealous of Juju Smith. I think that that's a lot of it, is he doesn't like having another guy that's an elite receiver.
Fred, maybe he sees what John Connor did in a year that Le'Veon Bell thought he was all that and held out.
But there's a thing in that he's being paid.
Yeah.
Like, he's being paid a phenomenal amount of money for a receiver.
But he just doesn't like Tomlin's, I guess,
affinity for Roethlisberger
over him.
Well, you know what? Find a team where the receiver is held above the quarterback, and I'll find a team where the coach is gone. So that situation is going to be rectified right quick. Of course the quarterback gets special treatment. Of course. And you can say, well, Brady never got special treatment. No, Brady took it upon himself to get to work early and all those things.
Subjugate his salary to help others.
Right, yes. Exactly. And that's extremely rare. And now you see that he doesn't want to do that anymore, and that's fine. But if there's a choice between an elite receiver and any quarterback, you take the quarterback in that situation. So good luck, Antonio Brown, finding a place where they're going to value you more than the most important position in sports.
There's a story up on CBSSports.com about the top eight places, best fits for Antonio Brown. The 49ers is number one.
Steelers, because they can't get rid of him.
No, I understand that. Now, again, trading him is a long shot, but since you asked the question, here's the answer, according to CBSSports.com. The guy who wrote this thing, I've never heard of
it.
John Breach. Anyway,
who cares?
49ers are number one because they don't have another wide receiver worth a damn. The Kittle's a good tight end, but that's it. For some reason, he has the Cardinals number two, and I don't get that at all.
That's a good move for a team that's rebuilding to
now,
go ahead and stamp him up.
The Raiders are third, and John Gruden has three first-round draft picks.
Because Antonio Brown will lose his
mind. Why not spend one and trade for Antonio Brown? I bet you Pittsburgh would do
it. If he thinks that dealing with Tomlin is a pain in the ass, imagine Antonio Brown having to deal with John effing Gruden.
Yes, and then you have Green Bay fourth. Those are the top four.
Okay.
And again... That's right.
Hey, Tom, you like rock and roll?
That's going to be the first day Antonio Brown shows up.
And then Antonio Brown will say, no, I love Bobby Brown, which I sang on The Mask.
Sprout left, exit, Richard Nixon.
Yeah, if you didn't see it last night, they have that show called The Masked Singer, where these people come out on stage, mystery people, and they're wearing some sort of big mask. Yesterday, someone with a hippo mask came out and started singing My Prerogative. And then you had Jenny McCarthy and the guy who did that one song that sounded exactly like the other song, Alan Thicke's son, ended up getting sued and made no money from it. And then you had Mr. What's his name? What was the Mr. Chow from The Hangover?
He's been a bunch of things.
And I forget. Oh, and Jenny McCarthy. And they said, who is this mystery singer underneath the mask? And
it's My Prerogative. I'm doing
So that's what he's been up to.
To fake that kind of excitement over Antonio Brown.
Well, it's Nick Cannon. You know, he's easily excitable.
Nick Cannon hosts every show in the world. He hosts Lip Sync Shorties on Nickelodeon.
That's not really the name of the show, is it?
Yeah, it's him and JoJo Siwa. What do your kids watch? They don't watch any of that stuff?
They watch, there's different like cartoons and stuff they watch. They're into The Simpsons now. So they watch. They watch that. They watch American Ninja Warrior. There's actually a show
that's constant.
Ultimate Beastmaster is better than American Ninja Warrior.
We have American Ninja Warrior Junior now on in my house. We have 8 and 9 year olds running the course.
Isn't that just Double Dare?
No, because there's a wall you have to run up.
There's another show my kids watch. It's Double Dare.
Yeah,
Double Dare. Oh yeah,
that's the new one that's on.
Well, then my son watches people playing Fortnite, and there was just a thing on CNN with Ninja, who's the big guy. And he makes $500,000 a month playing Fortnite. And you know how he gets the money? People donate it to him.
Yeah. I saw that thing on, was it CNBC that they just
CNN,
did with him?
Yeah.
I got to watch that.
$500,000 a month. People paying him when they don't have to. It's really amazing. Now, it's never going to happen again. But, talk about being in the right place at the right time.
Without a doubt.
Oh, Fortnite, do you cause problems? My son will get on that thing at 6 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, and he'll have three friends on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, he's got the old link up power and everything.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You link up, you go on missions. It's a whole situation. Very good.
I've got a weird Mario Kart addiction going on now since Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That is addictive. I think of it like before I go to bed. I think of Mario Kart. It's
I was
weird.
Given an NES system for Christmas. I know exactly what you're talking about.
That one doesn't have Mario Kart, though.
Oh, I have. It does. It's Mario World, and then there's another. They have like 60 games loaded onto it. But
Super Mario Brothers. Yeah, you got all the classics.
Yes.
Yeah, that's all right. Mario Kart didn't, I think, come out to like the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, that was a Super Nintendo game. Yeah. I never had Super Nintendo.
64 is the best Mario Kart.
Okay.
Still.
All right. I'll have to take your word for it. All right, so Rich, what is coming up in the stack?
All right. Well, it sounds like with the NHL All-Star announcement, there are certain stars who are saying, nope, don't want to be there. On top of that, some of the reasons that the NFL's ratings increased by a substantial amount in 2018.
All right, here are the headlines.
Thatcher and Rich.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And, Rich, what have we not gotten to today?
Once again, if you didn't hear right before the break, it looks like Josh McDaniels has turned down the interview with the Bengals, and it's not going to be happening, according to Mike Garafolo. That is probably a wise choice. I mean, yeah, even if he didn't want it, but what that might show to the teams that he is going to interview with is that I'm actually being selective with who I want to speak with, and I'm taking this seriously.
Or it's a slap in the face to Cincinnati, which has been horrible for a long time. They don't have a quarterback, and they don't really have the need to get better.
They're the worst of all the teams, I think, left. Miami's a pretty bad one, too, because there's not a lot to work with there.
Again, quarterback is questionable at best. Yep. Sorry, Fred Tannehill just isn't the guy. So
it doesn't appear that way.
No.
To overcome many injuries, but nonetheless, I disagree. I think that it's bad of McDaniels not to take interviews, any interviews at all. Because guess what? You might not get another chance. You don't want the Bengals job? Okay. Then you don't get a job this year. There ain't going to be eight.
Fred, every year someone's going to want him. If they want him this year, they're going to want him next year.
I disagree. I don't think that
Why wouldn't they want him next year? Because one year removed from that.
Because I'll tell you why. Because he's been a top candidate, like the candidate in years past, and he's not this year. He's just not. And there's eight openings.
Well, that's because you have a Super Bowl winning coach that's out there.
If you do the not dance even a second time and get close and say no, then if I'm a team, I'm not touching him next
year. Josh McDaniels, and McCarthy, by the way, isn't a number one choice for every team. He's certainly not with the Jets. Josh McDaniel, there's not going to be, I would imagine there's not eight openings next year. I mean, this is fairly unprecedented, I would imagine. So if you turn down one and you don't get another.
A quarter of the league is looking for a new head coach?
Yeah.
That almost never happens.
Right. Yeah, and so to turn down opportunities is getting ahead of yourself a little bit.
Well, maybe that just goes to show how high up on the list he is for these teams that he does want to go.
The other thing is maybe he has the Green Bay job on lock and is saying nope to Cincinnati because I already have another job.
Okay, well, you know, that we'll see. I mean, if you think Green Bay's offered him the job?
No, there are two or three ways you could take this.
Has he interviewed with Green Bay?
No, that's supposed to be tomorrow.
So he's taking a job tomorrow. So he has that. The interview is just a formality.
It's a possibility.
Okay, well then Green Bay is the dumbest organization on the planet. That you don't want to interview someone. You know, Josh, based on your massive success in Denver, your inability to have the intestinal fortitude to actually take a chance at a dream job, and the fact that you've been in the position to be an offensive coordinator for the greatest quarterback of all time. Why sit you down?
I think they've been giving this a lot of thought for a long time. And also, there's people within the organization who have worked with Josh McDaniels before.
So they're making the decision before the interview?
No, they just think that he right now is probably the top of their list.
I think it's why we're just listing reasons as to why he would turn down Cincinnati. I think the most likely is he looked at the Cincinnati job and went, there's no effing way I'm going there.
Okay, well, then, you know what? He's not the top name on the list this year, and he's further down than he was last year, and it's just going to keep getting worse. So I don't think he's in the position to start not taking interview. He doesn't have to take the job, but just not to take the interview.
I think that if he doesn't take a job this year, what's more perfect than the two situations that you've got sitting in front of you? I mean, you're not going to get two better positions than team-wise what's going on with the Browns. The owner sucks. I get that. Yeah. However, you take a look at what's going on in Green Bay, then you've got a great quarterback, but on top of that, you have no owner. You're playing in Green Bay.
I know, but you have a great quarterback. You have a fan base that is in love with the franchise. It's the only game in town.
You have expectations.
You do have expectations, but with a guy like Aaron Rodgers, it's a heck of a thing to step
all
into.
Right. Well, and then I got to deal with Chicago over the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm. But you can't win in Miami. You can't win right now with the Cardinals.
He can't go to Miami, and he can't go to the Jets. It's just not going to happen.
Well, I'm thinking of the teams that all need a coach. And, I mean, right now, it seems like those two are the only ones that I'd be considering if I was him.
I wonder if Belichick would give him crap about going to Cleveland.
No.
It's in the AFC.
I don't think Belichick's worried
about it. But he was going to go to the Colts. So, I mean, he already said yes to the Colts.
I guess that's true.
All right. Have you seen the lineup that was released this morning for Coachella?
No, it is, I would never go.
It is diarrhea. It is absolutely... Okay, here's your headliners.
By the way, which is inexcusable because that's the only way that these guys make money now.
Oh, it's these huge festivals. And yes. By the way, the festivals, the business of festivals have been pretty good as of late. Like last year's Boston Calling was excellent. I think what they had Queens of the Stone Age. They had Jack White. They had The Killers. I think Weezer. I'm like a lot of big bands. Didn't Eminem play last year? Was Eminem there last year, Nick, who's not listening to the show, even though he's supposed to be monitoring the show?
Hey, don't worry about that.
All right, thank you, Nick. Appreciate that. Childish Gambino is your headliner for Friday night. The second on the list is Janelle Monáe.
I don't know who that is.
For Saturday night, and I don't even know if I'm pronouncing this correctly, but I've heard of this. This is one of those bands that's always playing a festival, yet no one likes them.
Oh, like Ben Harper?
No, well, Ben Harper's all right. But like The National. Like, there's not
Ben Harper's... Only thing he ever does is play festivals. No one's bought a Ben Harper album in the history of Ben Harper.
I got a couple songs. I got them off of iTunes back before the old streaming apps.
Well, congratulations, Ben Harper. He's probably put out 20 albums. You got 2 songs.
Tame Impala. Some people say it's Tame Impala, but I've heard someone call it Tame Impala. They're the headliner for Saturday.
What's their big hit?
They don't have one.
Okay.
Solange and Kid Cudi are going to be the second one.
I've heard of them.
Okay. And then on Sunday, your big headliner is Ariana Grande. So, okay.
Which is going to be huge.
Maybe. I mean, could she sell at the TD Garden right now? Probably.
Yeah.
Probably?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
she's a suitable headliner for Coachella, but that just means Coachella's not in the business of attracting anyone over the age of 25.
Well, so here's what apparently happened is I guess that they had a handshake agreement, according to reports, with Kanye West for one of the nights. But
just
Kanye,
like McDaniels in Green Bay.
Pretty much, yeah. But Kanye West wanted a much bigger stage and them to make alterations to the stage.
Because
so part of the type of show he wants to put on. They said, nope.
You need a lot of room.
They said, that's not going to happen. Speaking of Ariana Grande, you know, Pete Davidson did his first stand-up show since the whole breakup with her. And it was here, actually, in Massachusetts. It was at the Chevalier Theater. What town is the Chevalier in, Dan? In Medford.
No, Chevalier.
You were there, right?
Yeah, Chevalier's in Somerville.
Yeah. You were there.
It's in Medford Square.
Okay, it's Medford Square.
That was Medford Square?
It's right outside of Medford Square, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All right, that's where I did the...
Right next to the post office.
That's where I did... Well, thank you.
Okay.
That's where I did the Chip Chipperson podcast.
At the Chevalier?
Yes.
Pretty decent-sized place. Very cool. Yeah, well, the...
bombed in front of that many people.
Apparently, Pete Davidson went and spoke about... the whole situation with Ariana Grande and said that it was tough sitting and listening with his friends at the breakup song. And they're like, oh, this isn't so bad. And then by the end of it, they're like, well, this kind of sucks. And then he said, well, I got a Harry Potter tattoo. The next day I got Alan Rickman, the guy who played Snape, died. And I was like, oh, weird coincidence. Then I got a Willy Wonka tattoo. The next day Gene Wilder dies. And I'm like, all right, that's a coincidence. That's weird. He said, so I'm thinking of getting a tattoo of Louis C.K. What do you guys think? So people are like, you know, laughing, thinking it was about that clip that just came out of Louis C.K. performing some of his stand-up, but it was not. He went on to explain the reason he wanted to have a Louis C.K. tattoo where he might possibly die is that he apparently, according to Davidson, tried to get him fired from Saturday Night Live. When Louis C.K. hosted the show, he complained to Lorne Michaels that all Davidson did was smoke pot all the time and that he makes people uncomfortable and isn't going to amount to anything.
I don't know if that's off base. So, by the way, it was the Somerville Theater. But, yes, I think that was kind of what Pete Davidson was doing. And the best thing about Saturday Night Live now is they're shoehorning Davidson into skits, even though he's completely unable to do that. So they because obviously I would do the same thing if I'm Lorne Michaels. But they're shoehorning him into, like, characters. You're like, what are you doing? I mean, he's good. He's a good stand-up. So, because the hypocrisy of him going after Louis C.K. would have been something else.
No. He was going after him to try to get him fired.
Right.
Because immediately that's what people were thinking, right?
By the way, one thing with Ariana Grande, if you are not someone who follows her music like I am not, I believe her debut on television was on a show called Victorious, and it's a riot. No, but it's Victorious, and it's set at a L.A. music school, and she's like... the third female character, and it's about singing. And so there's this Victoria, then there's this other girl, and then there's Ariana Grande. So if you looked at that show, you would say there's no way in hell that she becomes a star, which makes you think, how the hell did she become a star?
I don't even know if she's a good singer. Like, because I've heard her voice, and I can't tell nowadays, like, what's really her and what's the robot.
Well, what's funny is that you just, like, see her on these kid shows, and now she's acting, like, all wise and stuff. And you're just like, all right, Disney lady. Go about your Disney business.
Drake was on Degrassi Junior High.
Yes, and by the way, a billion plays for the song God's Plan or whatever, which is awful.
God's Plan.
There is hip-hop coming out now that's very good. But the Drake stuff, I can't for the life of me understand. And it's not because I'm old. Even if I was 20 years old, I would think the same thing. Because I thought a lot of stuff was crap when I was 20. I'm perfectly capable of thinking something's crap now. Ariana Grande. She's not even that hot.
She just looks too much like a kid. That's the only thing. It's like she's almost...
Yeah, plus when you see her on the show where she was like a teenager, you're kind of like, and she hasn't really changed. I talk like this. Awful actress. Now, the Victoria in Victorious, you go, that girl's going to be a star.
Now, Childish Gambino, I like him on the show Atlanta. Now, he's very good on that show.
You know where he sucked was that awful show, Community.
He was actually a pretty good Lando Calrissian as well. Yep. For Solo not being as good as it could have been, he was a very good Lando Calrissian.
All right. Well, the man has had his successes and his failures.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.